episode of the Film Stage Podcast. I'm Jordan Rapp, and with me is...
Dan Mecca.
And today we're going to review three films. Before, we just saw Shutter Island.
Yes, we did.
We can't really say too much about it.
Not yet.
But it's good.
It's good. It's very good.
Yeah, very good.
It is not bad.
And there's a lot to discuss about it, which we'll come back next week for. Mm. But this week we're not going to do any news or anything like that, because there's a lot of movies to talk about.
Straight to reviews.
Yep, and we're going to talk about Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief.
Whoa!
Based on
those are the three movies we're going to talk about.
Based on the novel Push by Sapphire. Yeah. and then that'll cover everything. No. And then we're also going to talk about Valentine's Day and The Wolfman. All three wide releases this weekend. So let's jump right into it, Dan.
Let's jump into it. Let's do it. Let's jump.
All right. So first is Percy Jackson. Now, I saw this film.
I was away in New York City.
Yeah, Dan was in New York City doing more important things. So
far more important things.
Yeah, especially when it comes to The Wolfman. But that's right.
All right.
No. So I had really low expectations for this. This is a new film by Chris Columbus. Who? It's kind of funny.
The Chris Columbus.
Yeah. No, he did Home Alone and stuff, and then he
Stepmom.
Yeah. But people.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, I feel like people forgot he directed I Love You, Beth Cooper. Like, people don't bring that up ever. Do you know what I mean?
I think that Chris Columbus forgot that he drank.
It's just kind of funny. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's like the Harry Potter guy is coming back to do Percy Jackson. Like,
well, I think the reason they said that is because
Percy Jackson's
all like, you know, Harry Potter. Or, yeah. I know, I haven't seen it, but.
Yeah, and for those that don't know about Percy Jackson, like I was when I went into it, it's based on a 5-part book series by Rick Riordan.
Yeah.
And it kind of tells a story of.
After reading the New York Times review, apparently. He wrote the books before Harry Potter came out.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people they're kind of calling it copycat.
But
the book was published after Harry Potter, it was written years before. So that's kind of interesting.
I guess people could see that before just because the director name, but I didn't find any real similarity. Like, of course, the whole fantasy stuff, but like, there's not really. So this film, Percy Jackson, it's about this kid who's played by Logan Lerman, who was also in 310 to Yuma.
The new Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, no. He's
no,
in,
no. No, not at all.
But he was in Gamer, which I liked him in Gamer.
Yeah, he was enjoyable, definitely.
And
cursed a lot.
Yeah. Not a lot in this movie. No. And so he is a teenager in this film, and he finds out very early on in the film. I was surprised how fast they went. They did this because in Harry Potter, I remember it kind of being like this nice exposition. Yeah. But he finds out early on that he is the son of Poseidon, the demigod son. And the story is about the gods like Poseidon, Hades,
Zeus.
They every so often they'll come down to Earth and have relations,
fuck around
with women, and they have children, and they're called demigods. And
half gods,
and so
Perseus,
yeah. And so the first I wrote a review on this, and the first act of this movie is kind of it's really clunky and like it's really bizarre, especially Pierce Brosnan shows up as a centaur, and so he's like half horse, half.
No, Pierce Brosnan is a centaur in real life.
Well, yeah. Well, that was weird because like he never plays it in any of his films, so
it's good he finally found a role where he could play a center,
but it's just kind of odd and I don't think they balance the world quite well in the beginning, but then like there's this point like right when they hit Medusa, who played by Uma Thurman, and
who by the way, when I have to say I haven't seen the film, but I saw a couple production stills from it, and I have to say that when I saw that she was playing Medusa, I remember thinking like stroke of genius casting.
Well, no, that's like, Steve Coogan is Hades.
Yeah, that's
it's
nice.
Awesome.
That's nice.
Sean Bean is Zeus.
Zeus, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Rosario Dawson.
Gorgeous. Yeah, she's that
unbelievable.
Yeah,
she's like the queen of the underworld.
Right.
And Catherine Keener, she's his mom. She plays the exact same role as Where the Wild Things Are, to a great extent. But yeah, that casting is really bright. All like kind of the people that aren't in the movie for long, but they have their own moments. But the bad casting is the characters that we the side characters, which is
Brandon T. Jackson,
who's from Tropic Thunder, and his lines are just every line is just.
But he's also some sort of god.
Yeah, he's a satyr, which is a half goat, half human, and it's really stupid.
Like a weird racial thing.
It's really stupid.
And then the girl, right?
She's the daughter of Athena.
Oh,
of course. And they're really annoying. Like, there's no getting around it. Like the whole movie, they're just really annoying.
They're not Hermione and Ron.
Yeah, no. But what the movie does great is the action set pieces. Like it goes to places where I didn't think it would go. Like there's a five-headed Hydra, like, dragon that they meet up with, and there's, like, this crazy fight scene, which is awesome. He, like, cuts off their heads, and, like, I was surprised. Actually, for a PG movie, we can get to that. There's, they go to Las Vegas.
That's funny.
And they eat these things that, what was it in Harry Potter where they drink this stuff?
It was the you know, well, I forget what the name of the drink was.
Yeah, but it was like love potion, right? Yeah. And then, but in this movie, they actually hallucinate, and it shows them gambling, it shows them, like, womanizing, and it's a PG movie. It's, like, the oddest, like, I was just so, like, off at all the Lady Gaga, which is as it poker face. So,
really?
Yeah, I was just like, after the Joe, I was like, I have not, I have not been to a PG movie like since Pixar, which is plays a safe and
right, yeah,
And yeah, but the movie's fun and
I thought, and also I love you, Beth Cooper.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. But no, I actually enjoyed this movie more than the recent Harry Potters and probably all the Harry Potters except for Azkaban.
Right.
Like, I don't know, I just.
So I mean, seriously, would you say? Yeah. This is Columbus's best film since Home Alone.
Well, Mrs. Doubtfire was after that.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Better than Mrs. Doubtfire?
I have to revisit it.
Okay.
Of his recent filmography.
All right. His recent accomplishments.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I hope people kind of hated on this movie, which I was surprised.
No, I mean, I think media. People, you know, remember people didn't love the first Harry Potter either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, remember that. So I think the movie did pretty well. I think it might do well enough to warrant a sequel.
Yeah.
$95 million budget, not as high end as Harry Potter, but still pretty high.
Is it really? No, I was trying to look for the budget.
$95 million, yeah. So I mean,
they do a lot of it. Like they go at the end, they go to, you know, Hades and spoilers, sorry guys. And
whoa!
Like, and the whole world is awesome. They like sneak through. There's like obviously Hades, or they have to get to the underworld, and they do so through Hollywood. Obviously, it's kind of funny.
That's yeah, cool. I like that.
And they enter this area, and then they go into the underworld, and it's really well done. Like the lava, it feels like they really went through with all the CG and stuff. And,
oh, good. Wow.
And it worked. And yeah, I mean, it was a really enjoyable movie. That, I mean, if you can get past the first hour, I'd say definitely check it out. Especially if you have kids. Like I'd much rather sit through this than something like the Squeakquel.
Or the Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy. Yeah, movies like that.
It's doing oddly well since its release. But anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, no, check out Percy Jackson, definitely. And I hope we get four more films.
I will.
And yeah. So moving on. We're gonna talk about Valentine's Day.
Which I unfortunately did see.
Dan saw the worst out of the well, no. The worst.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right.
Now, this movie, Gary Marshall. He's done some great things.
Some, yeah.
Previously.
Yeah. And, Pretty Woman.
Yeah, Pretty Woman. Even First Princess Diaries, was that? I don't think that was that bad. I enjoyed it.
That was him?
Yeah, that was him.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even, I kind of enjoy Runaway. I mean, some people hate Runaway Bride, but yeah. That was the second of them. Actually, I don't even know. Maybe Gary Marshall didn't direct that. I think
he did. He definitely did.
Okay. So I was going to say, because it's fine. I mean, it's no Pretty Woman, but also Gary Marshall did a couple. I mean, when he was younger, Gary Marshall did some things that were, I mean, they weren't bad. You know, he was trying, is my point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like he kind of, I don't know, hasn't really, I don't know,
made Overboard was.
Yeah, okay. So, for example, Overboard was.
I mean, Beaches was.
Overboard was funny. Nothing in Common was a good try. Didn't work, but. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know. Oh, yeah, but like, yeah, Georgia Rule, that movie's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even. It's like the Batman and Robin of dramas.
Yeah.
Now,
so Valentine's Day kind of brings, it's kind of like a best of
it's an American Love Actually.
Yeah, yeah. And they try to pack way too much. I agree.
Like America tries to pack way too much into.
And I really thought this movie was going to be terrible, like unwatchable.
Did not hate it.
But I did not hate it. I sat through it and I enjoyed some parts.
I did not like it at all. Okay. But I will say there are good parts. Okay, good parts that include. The 5 minutes that Bradley Cooper and Julia Roberts in the movie.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Probably the best 5 minutes of the movie. Jamie Foxx has his charm going. At least he's 100 times more watchable in this film than he is in Law-Abiding Citizen.
Yes.
Which, Aria, is coming out to your local DVD stores today.
And Run Away. And instead, go pick up Black Dynamite.
Yeah, pick up Black
Dynamite. And Hunger.
And Hunger. Pick up the Criterion collection of Hunger, which...
Awesome.
Which is cool. But anyway, yeah. So Jamie Foxx part's good. You know, Julia Roberts, Bradley Cooper, and George Lopez I really enjoyed George Lopez in this movie.
Yeah.
But like Ashton Kutcher, Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, Eric Dane, Patrick Dempsey. I like Jennifer Garner too. Okay. I liked her.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of didn't mind Ashton Kutcher. I don't know why.
I don't know because it's funny because I'm kind of an ass. I mean, I don't want to say this, but like
you're a big fan.
I'm a half Ashton Kutcher apologist. Like I like Just Married. Okay. Like I'll say that. I thought that Spread was a good try. I thought that Spread was a good try. So like, you know,
What happens in Vegas?
What happens in Vegas? I thought that movie was.
Can we still say The Butterfly Effect was his best?
Oh, that was bad. That was a mistake. That was a mistake. I don't know. Like, I hated him in this movie. It was rough to watch.
I don't know.
Like, there were just so many. Anyway, well, go the ahead. Problem with the movie is there's why so... did you hang on? Yeah. Why did you not hate it? I want to hear why you didn't hate it.
Okay, well, my main
let's clarify something. Yeah. I didn't hate He's Just Not That Into You. Actually, I rather enjoyed that film. Okay, hang on. You hated it.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, now you didn't hate Valentine's Day. I did. Yeah. So let's figure this out. Go. Okay,
the point I'm trying to make with Valentine's Day is. Every year, there's just romantic comedy after romantic comedy. They have to live with these characters for an hour and a half. And if you hate them, there's nothing, you can't get around it. There's nothing you can do. Like, you know.
Like The Ugly Truth.
Ugly Truth. Even, I mean, When in Rome had some chances, but, you know, like,
right. Yeah,
but
you know, you said that in When in Rome, one of the reasons it does okay is because it moves so quickly.
Yeah, and like this, and exactly, like this movie, it moves so quickly. Like, there's scenes that should not end when they end. It almost feels like they end mid-sentence. Like, you know, and you know, that's, if you're looking at it from, like, a filmmaking
technique. But you're looking at it from going on a date with your girlfriend.
Yeah, romantic. For Valentine's Day, you know, date, like, it's enjoyable. Like, I don't know. There are bad parts, if you want to get to those. Like, there's another one.
But, I mean, it's even a pretty poorly made film.
Yeah, no, it is. It's not well made, but there are, like you said, Bradley Cooper and Julia Roberts' conclusion. I really, really liked. But like I said, they don't go all the way with Bradley Cooper's, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I tweeted this out. Interview with who's the girl that runs Access Hollywood, like Mena. You would know her face if you did. She's interviewing. Spoilers, by the way, coming up for Bradley Cooper's conclusion.
He's gay.
Yeah, he's gay. All right.
Spoilers.
The lady's interviewing Bradley Cooper and Julia Roberts, and they're talking about the ending. She's like, "I thought your ending was so hilarious. I didn't expect it at all." And Bradley Cooper gives it this face that's like, "I must not have done a good job then, because like it's not supposed to be hilarious." And like, it was the most awkward interview. Like, it was so like. Yeah, I was kind of shocked when I was watching it.
That's horrible.
And she's like, no, you know what I mean? Like you're not like, you're never like that in your movies. And he's like, okay. I guess you didn't get it then. And like, they're just going to end the interview. It was so weird. Anyways, I'm surprised they even have that on YouTube. But
that's horrible.
And but like I said, like that conclusion I like. But no, the main reason why I like this movie is that it moves fast. And there's enough, you know, they space out. And there's enough enjoyable parts. Like, Jessica Biel is terrible. With some characters, there's kind of a point. Like with, you know, Bradley Cooper, like, but there's just no point. Like, we're really supposed to expect that a single woman like her, really every Valentine's Day, she throws this party and just cries. Like, there's just like,
I don't get it.
Anyway, Topher Grace was good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did like him,
but I did not like.
That's the thing about this movie, and I will say this, like there are so many likable. I mean, you know, the movie stars are likable. They're movie stars.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of their thing. But, like, it's like eating so much chocolate that you wake up the next morning and you have, like, 1,000 cavities. And that's kind of, like, what this movie was like. I was watching it, and even though there were parts where I was laughing, I kind of just, I literally felt physically, like, bad because it was so unhealthy for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of the way. Like, Pretty Woman, you become invested in Julia Roberts' character. You become invested in Richard Gere's kind of dynamic change.
Yeah.
So at the end of that movie, like, it feels good. It feels good that they get together. Spoilers, right? It feels good that they get together at the end of that film. But in this, I didn't really care. I mean, like, even for the Julia Roberts, Bradley Cooper thing, I rolled my eyes at the end of the Julia Roberts conclusion. And that was the best part of the movie. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Exactly. I like that. I actually really like that.
I mean, it's a nice touch, but like, yeah. I was never invested to care true. About it. You know, that's kind of that's my problem with it.
One character we forgot, Emma Roberts, which I thought she was.
Emma Roberts. I will say, I think she's got a very promising future in Hollywood. Yeah. You know, like just like her aunt.
Her part was actually one of the funniest, I thought, with them. But can we talk about the other two high schoolers, Taylor Lautner and Taylor Swift?
Taylor, like, honestly, yeah. I guess he can act. I'm not trying to be like, but I honestly,
and doesn't he
was, and he must so be, bad in this movie that it was almost like,
and he must be a douchebag in real life because there's no way that he was acting like, you know what I mean? Like there's nothing about his character that made me want to like even look on screen any longer. Like, I know he's hot, and if you're 16 or whatever, that's hot, but like, he's so off-putting, like everything about
he's so
so odd.
Like, his dad must know everybody, you know, because like, his dad's his whatever, his like manager or whatever the fuck, and like he's like, how, I just don't get it, man. Like, I mean, I'll say this, like, Robert Pattinson, there's a charm in him.
It was even Zac Efron. He's definitely
right. Up. Right. Like Zac Efron. Like, there's a charm. There's a movie star, Brad Pittness, to Zac Efron.
But to be fair, we will see in Stretch Armstrong.
Ah,
because he is playing Stretch Armstrong
and Northern Lights.
Yeah,
and that other movie.
No, but go ahead, Zac Efron.
Like, Zac Efron, he reminds me of a young Brad Pitt. Okay. I've said, because he's got that just kind of that you know, that surfing boy charm.
Even Shia LaBeouf, who kind of started.
And Robert, right. And Robert Pattinson kind of has more of a like darker kind of a thing going on. Not quite Brad Pitt, but I don't want to make any comparisons really, but like, it's more brooding, whatever. And that works, you know, and it works.
It is a chance to get better.
I'll say Robert Pattinson, and I mean, I don't mean to make this claim, but like, in terms of brooding, like kind of darkness, whatever, young Johnny Depp, you know, because if you remember when Johnny Depp, when he was doing Crybaby and those kinds of movies, he kind of had that, you know, like Rebel Without a Cause thing going, like James Dean kind of a thing going on. Robert Pattinson has that. Whether he has talent to back it up, we'll see. But like, Taylor Lautner has nothing, literally nothing to work with, nothing. And Taylor Swift is a very nice girl, and like, she was funny in SNL for that one episode, but doing that in a movie.
Felt like they were like, okay, let's roll the cameras and just see what happens.
Taylor, just do what you did in SNL,
and we'll
edit it.
And imagine if she was like, like I said before, like if it was a romantic comedy with just her and Taylor Lautner, like they would no scene would ever end, and it would just be a like, I'm so glad every time a scene ended with them ended up.
True, yeah. See. And like the thing, and like the funniest joke between the two of them is that like, I think Taylor Swift says something about both of their names being Taylor. And it being confusing. I think that was in the outtakes.
Well, actually, the funniest part with them, I thought, was the report. Jamie Foxx is like a reporter, and then he gives the camera over to the reporter. The
cameraman who ends up becoming the reporter.
And he's like, I wish I was back in high school. I thought that was funny, but that was mostly because of him.
But that was the reporter.
That was the reporter.
Yeah, right? He goes, that's young love. That's fun.
Well, Valentine's Day.
I mean,
it's already passed, so don't go see the movie. If you saw last weekend, like everyone else in America, that was a good time.
Hopefully you had sex afterwards.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're going to rent a romantic comedy and you're forced to later down the road, there's a lot of others to rent. But, you know, this is like 10th on the list, you know. I say go for it.
Whatever. No, don't go for it.
It says don't go for it.
See, he's just not into you. Because at least he's just not that into you tries. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, it tries to be boring. All right, go see Love Actually.
Oh, sure, actually, don't see either of those movies and just rent Love Actually.
Yeah. Now, moving kind of faster because there's a lot of movies to talk about. The Wolfman.
Let's do it.
Now, this movie, Universal Pictures, has, as everyone probably knows, has a lot of production problems. Had a lot of production problems, and Mark Romanek he was on for, 2 weeks, I think, or something like that.
But I mean, 4 weeks before they started shooting, he dropped out. So it was
pre-production, yeah. And, you know, they changed. They brought in new editors. They changed the score, then ended up actually using the original score that Danny Elfman did. But like we talked about, there's been a lot of famous movies that have played production, you know, that had, like,
Titanic.
Apocalypse Now, one of the most famous.
True, yeah. Delayed for 2 years.
So Dan, did Wolfman? No, I'm just kidding. No, I saw this film. Dan was still in New York City. If you watch the trailer for Wolfman, the movie is kind of like I was actually talking to my friend Connor about this, who's on the podcast, podcast a couple of weeks ago. There's some movies that, like, will surprise the shit out of you, like, about things you, they go places you don't expect, you know, there's a lot of reveals, there's a lot of characters that you learn about. Wolfman was an hour and a half of the trailer extended. There was the scares from the trailer, there was, like, the moody, stuff. Nothing really out of the ordinary in this movie. It felt very manufactured, very calculated. Every scare is perpetuated by some type of music that stops. Every scare is like this. Ready? There's someone like walking through a room or something, and you think you got hit, so you're like, oh, and then it dies down, and then it comes back in a big scare. So it's like, you know, 1-2 punch or whatever you want to call it. But even the performances, like Hugo Weaving and Anthony Hopkins are good. I didn't think Benicio del Toro was that good. Mm-hmm. He didn't try to do any British accent or anything. Like, he didn't try really. Emily Blunt, she was all right.
I feel like Joe Johnson pretty much conceded as much when he was talking about it recently, and he kind of said, he just elaborated on the problems, and he said why Romanek left, because they wouldn't give him 20 or more shooting days. And then Joe Johnson came on, and he said that he could do it in the amount of days they had allotted, but then they ended up adding 17 pages to the script, and they ended up adding that many more shooting days anyway. And the budget skyrocketed to $150 million, and then they, you know, hired two more editors at the end, and they rewrote scenes, they took out scenes, and they reshot the scenes because they realized that the scenes needed to be in the movie. And it ended up being what Romanek wanted to shoot anyway, except it was a sloppy mess because the intention was there, and then it left, and then it came back, and then it was, and then it was a disaster. So I feel like,
And in some of the scenes, you can see the intention. There's an opening scene, not opening, but in the first, 20 minutes through, where they kind of discover they're on the casual monster search. And it's not too casual, but they do go on a monster search, and actually they do come across the gypsies. I didn't really think about this, but there's like this gypsy camp that Benicio del Toro comes across, and it really is good. And there's this werewolf that's going around the gypsy camp on the outside through the forest, through the trees, and like the camera's like spinning around as they're trying to shoot him and stuff. And it's good. Like, you don't, like, he pops out and grabs people some like random part and stuff. It's good. And
not very casual at all.
No, it's not too casual at all. And rejects. Oh wait, you can't. Dan edited it correctly. That'll be inside joke. Anyways. So no, that seems good. And then there's a few like cool tricks that they have in that scene. Like there's a shot where a guy's walking through the woods, and he has a gun pointed, and like the camera's kind of from the side, and he hears a noise, so he shoots, and the flash reveals the wolf in the flash by a tree, like right in front of the camera. And that was kind of cool.
That's cool.
And there was a couple other cool shots, and he knew, like, going in pre-production, they're like, okay, we gotta get these shots down, you know, like they're gonna be like the awesome one. And then there's a ton of other stuff that just feels like they kind of made it up when they went along. There's solid like 15 to 20 minute chunks throughout the movie that just nothing really interesting happens, and it's kind of sad.
That is very sad.
And the scene that Dan's talking about where they added it in at the end, that was kind of cool. But that's where we were talking about CG before, actually, and I think actually the monster transformations were really, really well done. Which in the trailer didn't seem like, they seemed kind of cheesy, but the way they build it up in the movie, it actually works pretty well.
That's good.
The shots, Dan was right, we were talking about this earlier, the shots where he's jumping from rooftop to rooftop are really silly. And then there's shots, sometimes they use CG for the face, and sometimes they use real makeup.
Well, Rick Baker, he did the makeup, so he did it for, Werewolf of London.
It's just kind of a mix of a movie, it's not...
Yeah, a mix of a movie.
and that never
works.
Yeah, and I wish, Joe Johnson luck on Captain America. I hope.
I wonder if it'll get made.
You think? I think they're pretty much set. They said they're starting the film and...
Yeah, well, I mean, what does that mean? I mean, yeah, I hope it gets made. They've done a lot of people. I would love to see Captain America made into a movie. I don't think that the Wolfman's doing that well right now. But, I guess Universal expected that, so...
Yeah.
They're really putting all their chips in a green zone.
Oh, God. I don't... I mean, I'm looking forward to green zone, but then it seems like they're going to have a repeat year,
Another rough year.
But yeah, no, Wolfman, check it out, rent it if it interests you. If it doesn't interest you, you're getting pretty much what you see from the trailer. Mm. So that wraps up our reviews pretty much. Check out Percy Jackson and kind of
And get ready for Shutter Island review.
Get ready for Shutter Island. Yes, Shutter Island. We saw tonight, as we said, and it there's a lot to talk about.
Mm.
And freaking Scorsese, well done. Man. It, well with done. That movie, we can talk about this a little. Like there, it's like no one else could do a movie. You know what I mean? Like there's no. I mean
that's an example of a pure vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like every shot, you're like, okay, that, like.
I mean, even if it doesn't work, there's a method behind. There's a method to the madness.
Yeah.
And so you know. Yeah, I don't think the man's ever made a perfect movie, but at least in his flaws, he has, you know, passion and stuff. So that's big.
Yeah, and that's only wide release next Friday. Week, right? Yeah.
February 19th, yeah.
And Profit does expand, I think, so check that out if it's in your city.
Profit's so good.
Fish Tank.
Go out of your way.
Check it out.
Gotta watch
still
that.
Still there. And Red Riding Trilogy, which we should watch soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, but for now, just check out the Film Stage for updates on all these movies and all the all news and reviews and everything. And you can follow me at twitter.com/thefilmstage.
Yep, and you can follow me at twitter.com/DJMECCA.
Yes, and always email us, please, if you have any comments or any reviews of movies that are out now that you want us to check out that we haven't talked about. You can email us at editors@thefilmstage.com. And I will respond on this podcast. All right, thank you guys. Have a good night.